The word of God is life. This is the Meat of the Word on Hope FM.
We're going through the Meat of the Word from Acts chapter 26 with the senior pastor of Christ is the Answer Ministries in Ngong, Pastor Jotham Munene.
Thank you.
Wow, I see a total consecration of Paul. Let's look at verse 16, this listener. Let me see what they're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, verse 16 says what? Are you there, Pastor?
I am already there. I was waiting for you.
Read for us. Read for us.
But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose.
Oh.
To make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you.
Adi, how does it say there? I have
appeared to you for this purpose. How about your version?
No, my version is better.
Okay.
Believe me, this time my version is better.
Let's hear you.
Because it says, I've appeared to you, just like yours.
Okay.
Then yours says, for this purpose.
Yes.
Mine now says, to appoint you.
Okay. Amen.
You know, the word appointing is very,
it's an appointment,
it's heavy.
It is. Purpose is also big.
For this purpose.
Yes.
To appoint you. Absolutely great. Well, Solomon was saying, he sees a total consecration of Paul in that verse.
Yeah.
He's an empty vessel before the experience and now filled to minister and to witness. All right.
You know, I don't know how your versions put verse 12.
Verse 12. Because yours says what?
It starts with, while thus occupied.
No, this one says, on one of these journeys.
Okay, this one, mine is stronger in this case.
It is, I agree.
Because before that it says, you know, verse 9, indeed I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, here it comes, the story of especially our friend Stephen. I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. It reminds me of Rose Muhando's song, that if you're going to be wicked, continue being wicked, even to the internet. And being exceedingly enraged, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied.
Wow. In my obsession against them,
yes.
I even went to foreign cities to persecute them on one of these journeys. No, yours is much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just captured that. Could it be that some of our listeners are thus occupied?
Thus. Could it just be?
Could it be that some business of somebody has been trying to quieten this gospel?
Ridiculing them.
Things like when you hear a church wants to do change of user from residential to a church, you are the one who goes to the authorities to say, no, we don't want a church in our community. To those who in schools are administrators and they think this gospel is too much. To those who are fathers, especially, sometimes mothers, parents who think their children are getting a little bit too religious for your good. While thus occupied, the Lord Jesus appeared, and everything looks so significant. It is at midday. It is the time that it's changing from AM to PM. Mm. Some people would say BC.
And AD.
No. Mm. Before Christ.
And after Christ.
After Christ.
Yes.
Actually, it can be AD, the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
It is midday when it's just to change to afternoon of your life. In other words, you have reached the zenith. Is there such a word?
Okay, let's
peak.
Use it.
Let's say peak.
Yes.
The peak of your life.
Yes.
The sun is beginning to go down on you, but you are still occupied in resisting the name of Jesus. God will not talk to all of us like he did with Saul. So for some people, they will wait for this thing to appear in the sky. It will not appear. But he's appearing to you now as you listen to my voice. That is this, the way he has chosen
to appear.
To appear. And by the way, I gave my life to Christ myself through a radio preacher.
Really?
Yes.
You're a good one to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you are thus occupied and resisting the name of Jesus, and some people are not resisting, they're just procrastinating. Like, is it Felix who said, you go up for an hour, when I get another chance, when I find it convenient, I'll call you. While you are thus occupied, we want you to consider that Jesus is speaking to you. And if he spoke to Saul, he wants all of us to ride on this experience. A light from heaven, you know?
Yes.
And he changes life for good.
Amen.
And we do want to say salvation is not just a prayer. It's a total change of life from morning to afternoon.
Yes.
From the darkness to the other one. But another important key I think you wanted us to highlight here, verse 14.
Yes.
We have already had Saul, why are you persecuting me? But we did not know that Jesus also said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads.
Let's go to that statement.
Yes.
How should we understand that
statement? Now, goads are pointed pieces of wood, which were used to prod animals, let's say cows, to move ahead. In other words, you sort of prick them, but it's not metal, so it's not that bad. But it makes them feel that pain, and they cannot stay in one place. They have to keep moving.
Like a discomfort.
There is discomfort.
Mm.
So, one of the places where Paul was kicking against the... when the goads probably started coming, and you can see him saying, when people are being killed, I was also giving my vote for them. The day of Stephen's stoning. Because he says very clearly that he is the one who was taking care of the clothes, and he gave consent to that.
Yes.
It looks to me that he started feeling his conscience troubled from that time, if not earlier. But he continued resisting the conscience, more importantly, resisting that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. So, and Jesus is the one who is advising him. He says, it is hard.
It's hard.
He's probably telling, it's going to get harder. It's going to be hard. The best thing is just say, okay, Lord, take away the good. I have accepted. So, here we are speaking to very many people who know, and they have seen it in many ways, where the goad has been pushed around them. For some of them,
they know they are in a lot of discomfort.
They do.
Their own conscience being
tells
part of the goad.
For example,
yes,
there are people who have been in an accident and they go to hospital and you hear them saying, if the Lord delivers me from this thing, first thing I will do is go to church.
Give my life to Christ.
Give my life to Christ. You are kicking against the goad. Then there are others who know that the questions you had about the faith have already been answered. You are looking for another one to use as an excuse. Then there are others who know that God has been following you all over. You go from one town, you find a crusade. You reach the next stage, someone is giving you a pamphlet about the Lord. You go home and then your own child
starts witnessing to you.
Yes. Is telling you, Daddy, why are we not following Jesus? That stop resisting and kicking against the gods.
It is hard.
It is a difficult life.
It is hard for you. Jesus said it. It is hard for you.
He said that, and then he had said another one in Matthew. You remember? Take my yoke.
It is light.
It is light. It is easy. If you want your life to be easy, to have meaning, to have direction, to have fulfillment, don't resist the goads. Take the yoke of our Lord, and you will be safe. I think we have made the point.
One more question.
Okay.
From now, what do you like call it? This perspective, Pastor. It's because of a lot of teaching around the whole area of spiritual warfare, around the whole area of deliverance.
Okay.
Just because of all those teachings around all that is why I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
So Paul himself, as per his own admission, he went from one synagogue to another, having people punished. Mm-hmm. Even trying to force them to blaspheme.
Right.
And for sure being an accomplice at the very least.
Yes.
Of when people are getting killed, believers right. are yes. getting killed.
Right.
And then the event, the changing event of the road to Damascus at mm-hmm. around midday.
No, not around. At midday, O King.
Mine says about noon, O King.
Okay.
So, midday. All right. Midday is still our hour.
All right.
So, I was wondering, had Paul been amongst us in our times, maybe we would have wanted to see him, their people. Mm-hmm. I am nearly definite. There are people who would have wanted to know. So, how have you dealt with that? You are an accomplice in murder.
Yes.
How have you dealt with that? You even forcing people to blaspheme.
Yes.
Yes, and there are people who would make recommendations that you don't just come like that. It's not that easy.
Okay.
Yes, I wanted to address. Paul's life before
yes, and after.
Paul's life after.
Yes.
In relation to all the teachings
that are going around.
That go around, yes.
Yeah, but I think key to what you are proposing here, and we had a preacher allude to that on side last Sunday, yesterday, is how much of it is finished.
For certain individuals especially.
Yeah.
Yes.
When it is finished, it is finished. But we must. So it is for. I think the problem with the deliverance and culture and so on is when it becomes a routine. It becomes you have to go through a certain process. Everybody who gets saved needs several other classes to make sure they are fully saved or fully delivered.
Delivered.
Yeah. So we don't actually see that in the Bible. We don't see it. We don't see it in the life of Paul, whoever this guy is. And
it's Paul, also known as
Paul. Saul, also known as Paul. From what Jesus seems to tell him, it's like he's totally changed. You know, it's like now, from now, you're going to be doing this and the other. So, from what we call a positional point of view, mm-hmm. a surrender to Jesus sorts out everything in your life. Absolutely.
From a position point of view.
Positional point of view now. Now I'm talking as a theologian.
Okay.
That you are at peace with God and you have the victory with God. There is nothing left about your life.
All right.
But I don't want to lose the fact that on the level of knowledge and also spiritual issues, we are not saying that you can never be helped after salvation. In fact, I think that Saul, after this, got himself, we hear of the story of Arabia.
Mm.
And mainly, I think he is trying to get around the word of God. By the way, to me, that is the major recommendation that new believers have. To really get discipled, you know, sometimes we talk of new believers class. I think
yes.
they have different names.
Yes.
But it is a grounding in the word of God.
Grounding in the
word. Grounding in the word of God. That's the major thing that you need as a believer. Whatever other manifestation you see in your life, the real thing you need is to be grounded. Now, but the enemy may not give up immediately. But that doesn't mean that something has not been done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's not finished.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it is not finished. It doesn't mean that for you to be fully born again, you have to dig up, you know, things. There are people who really get into that kind of thing. But I must admit, if you see after salvation, there is an area you're struggling with, again, also don't just use our statement that it is finished to not seek for help. And this can take any form. You know, people can still be taking alcohol. People can find that I'm struggling in some area of my life, moral and so on. But let us know that the enemy came to kill, steal and destroy. And it is not only for a few people. He wants to target all of us. When that comes, you have the opportunity to go to Jesus and be sorted out. Can somebody pray for me? it is fine. But the goal should be, in my view, for you to be so mature in that grounding that even if another spiritual knowledge challenge comes, you're at a position to fight the good fight of faith.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
In other words, you are saved and you are fully saved. I think you wanted me to put it that way.
Yes.
And the blood of Jesus
cleanses you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Yes, but the devil doesn't give up easily. You must keep hitting him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we can say.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
For the sake of those who are not with us when we dealt with Acts 9, let's just point out, who are you, Lord? And that question was asked. That Jesus answered, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.
Yes.
It is significant because Saul did not actually meet with Jesus on the earth. The first time they are meeting is on the road to Damascus. So he never met Jesus while he was walking on earth. So he never persecuted him personally. It tells you persecution, harassment, mistreatment of children of God is a dangerous affair. For Jesus takes it as himself.
It is personal. It is very personal.
Lord. Yeah. And even though I know we are told not to pray for anything bad to happen to those who persecute us, another place God says, I am the one, vengeance is?
Is mine.
Is mine. Now, if he decides to take it against you because he's saying, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, you'll not enjoy it. What I want to say is this. Gamaliel told us once, we don't totally trust his advice, but he did say,
yes,
if these people are from God, leave them
alone.
That is what I'd like to say.
Or you will be found to be fighting against God.
Yeah, and it cannot be easy.
Yes.
Fighting against God is not something you want to be involved in. So if you don't understand things about Jesus, then do not persecute his people. Because we also appeal to all people when we are speaking here on Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's speak to people who have been persecuting Christians, the latest being in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
Even you, the person you are persecuting is Jesus himself. You don't want to find yourself fighting against Jesus. The Bible says this. Do not fear those who can destroy just the body. Fear him who can destroy the body and then the soul, spirit, whatever is inside of you. He is able to give you a different kind of experience after life by the way you have treated him by persecuting Christians.
Yes.
So if you are in the process of planning some attack for any reason, I would like to tell you, you are not doing a good service to yourself. And it comes back on you. It comes back on your children. It comes back sometimes on your community, sometimes on your nation. Be warned. He is the one you are
persecuting.
I think that is enough to say that.
Okay.
So let's go to this 16, 17, 18 that we mentioned. What did you say? Did you say it is a...
It's an appointment.
Let me
read for you.
Yeah, an appointment.
So Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, yes. I have a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus.
That's sweet.
Praise Jesus. Yeah. I'm just so happy.
Yes, you are one of those who have a place.
I have a place.
It's like you go for the banquet that has been prepared at one of the 5-stars hotel.
Yeah.
And there are a few people who are wondering, now, where do I sit? But there is a seat written one boy.
I have a place.
You have a place among those who are sanctified
by faith,
not works.
No.
Yeah.
By faith.
By faith.
in Jesus Christ.
In Jesus. You need to get that faith to get you sanctified, to be apportioned a space in heaven.
Amen.
But the appointment here, or the ordination charge, to open the eyes, to turn people from darkness, to turn them from the power of Satan.
Mm. Hey! Let me look at that.
There are several of them.
To open their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
To turn them from darkness to light.
Right.
To turn them from the power of Satan to God. Yes.
It's amazing. And those of us who have this charge should be happy. I almost say they should be proud. But pride can sometimes, it's not taken nicely. They should be happy about the fact that they have been given this charge. Now I'm talking about those who are in full-time ministry, although all of us in some sense are in full-time. But let's talk about those who are full-time pastors, evangelists, whatever, prophets, teachers, that it has been given to you. And you see, it comes with the power to be able to turn people from darkness to light. I don't know how your experience in witnessing to people has been, Wamboi, but I've had people who have asked me, you are saved.
Mm.
From what?
Oh, that's the first question I was asked at home when I went, saying I had gotten born again.
Yes.
From what?
What had?
From what?
Yes, what had?
Many years, this one's here.
Because the person asking you cannot see. Their eyes don't have the ability to see, one, that there was a problem in their life. Then also to see who Jesus is. All they see is a carpenter and somebody who is struggling with the authorities and Pilate. They need their eyes to be opened. And then once their eyes are opened, they are wondering, why have I taken so long? But we also see, in fact, I was going to say this, it involves what some people call a truth encounter and a power encounter. For the whole concept of salvation and following Jesus, for some people, it's not that they don't want, really.
Mm.
Their eyes haven't been opened to the truth, nor has the power of Satan, we are talking about deliverance.
Yeah, been broken.
That power has not been broken. Because from their ancestors and so on, the devil has hold sway in their life. We talk about patterns, you know, they see this and the other happening in a family. But this person has been given the power to break them loose from the power of Satan to God, and then to have that place that is reserved for them in God. So we want to also say that as we reach out to people, we need to do it with mercy. And also not never to be proud, because it is that God had mercy on us for to open our eyes. And when we say eyes, of course, we are talking of spiritual eyes.
Mm.
And also to break this power of Satan. Paul is told, I've given you now that mandate.
Mm.
It's an awesome.
I'm sending you.
Yeah.
I'm sending you.
I'm sending you. In other words, and now I'm seeing it for the first time, the Damascus experience you've had, you carry it with you. And Jesus brings the flashlight right there, you know, light. And it is done practically, object lesson. Let's close your eyes first. You remember?
Yes.
Your scales in his eyes. And
yes.
Then by the time he's out of there now, he can see clearly. The scales have been removed. And he will be the one to remove scales from people. So let's also be patient with people. Let's pray for them if they don't seem to understand what we are saying. For there needs to be this removal of
scales. The opening of the eyes.
But the person, and the first level is every believer, because the Bible says that, you know, go in my name and make disciples of all nations. We have this authority and power. But there are those who have been lifted to another level, let's say pastor, bishop, whatever, to do this as a lifetime. And it's a very, very high calling now that I look at it in this way. It's a very high calling, and it is amazing that because of the calling God has given you, the light can come and the power of Satan can be broken, and you can all of a sudden hear a person speaking differently.
Yes.
Incredible.
And some people, Pastor.
Yes.
I'm asking a question, but let me begin here.
Yes.
Some people, even now, do have a very... in fact, let's just not call it dramatic. Let's just say clear.
Yes.
An extremely clear... doesn't even have to be a vision, but they have a clarity about the ascending. Like how now Paul can tell people that Jesus said to him, I'm sending you to them, then that to open their eyes and all of that.
Right. A clear call.
A very clear, even very specific.
Right.
Very specific wording there.
Yes.
Some people have that.
Yeah.
Other people...
Others don't.
Others may not, but they use the scripture. The scripture says, so yes. I do.
Yeah.
I do that.
Right.
It's to all believers. I go in faith. I do that. I wanted to ask whether it's important...
Right.
...to be able to say, quote, what your specific calling is.
Yes, I think it is. And we don't want to put... Some people, when you say that, you feel like you're putting them under psychological torture. First, let's say this. Even when Paul got this calling, he cannot say that me, I cannot pray for the sick.
No.
Because my specific calling was opening the eyes. There are certain imperatives that have been given in the Word of God, and they are for all time. Regardless of what else you believe is specific for you.
For you.
But having said that, it is actually, in some cases, God will do this kind of thing. And he's still doing it up to today, where people have a very dramatic sense of specific direction. It may not come to everyone. But I want to say a few things. Number one, it has to do with your gifts. Gifts are one of the ways of God telling you, this is the direction I want you to go. So God speaks, you know, Job says God speaks, is always speaking, but sometimes people are not really.
Yes.
Yes. In terms of your gifts, which somebody called Clinton calls gift mix, it should already be telling you where you're headed.
All right.
Now that's actually maybe one of the greatest things that speaks to you. Number two is experiences. Your experiences. And good and bad. For instance, if somebody went through, let's say, before they were born again, they had an abortion. That is a bad experience, but it is a great opportunity to be able to speak to others going through the same. All right? I have a friend, and you probably know her, who survived an accident in air.
A plane crash. I know her. Yes,
you know her?
I do.
Now, such a person, can you see that there is something they can speak from their experience?
They've actually written, isn't it?
They've written it.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot start saying, I'm not sure what I'm really supposed to do. If God saved you from such a thing, first of all, it means you have a message that you have to deliver, and that salvation alone will change many people. So experiences, your gifts and callings, and then another one is the community of believers, so that the way people speak to you also is a way of God, especially believers, is a way of God showing you which direction. And that can also be taken to the level of also your spiritual authorities. What are they saying? But we must say, it is also important to have an effort in things. Because you know there are people who just let it slide. If God wants to tell me what he wants me to do...
He will tell me.
I've not refused, but you know... It is... For Paul, he was not looking for it. But for us who now know this information, this is the time we take a retreat, personal retreat. Yeah.
All right.
This is the time we say, God, speak to me. There's a time I did that and it worked. I've had people say that if you don't speak to me, people had been saying, God, you have told God, now you have to speak to me. It had never worked for me. So there's a time I said, and he did speak to me. So it's important for you also to be willing and thirsty. And, you know, like Jacob, I'll not leave you until you bless me. Mm. There must be a bit of aggressiveness in this thing. Because once you are this clear, you don't spend your life punching here, trying here. Then you realize you can actually get this thing straight early enough.
Very focused.
Very focused. Mm. And there's a place for the pastor. There is a place for the pastors that you have in your life.
Yes.
They can help you trace this thing. And let me say this again, another thing.
Yes.
This looks like evangelism and planting churches. Right?
Right from the beginning.
Yeah, the way this is phrased.
Yes.
But there is another call that is coming to some of our people. For example, I have planted you to plant petrol stations. And through them, influence the oil industry. There is also such calls from God.
That's huge.
Yes.
That's huge.
There are calls to people to focus on primary school teaching and not get carried away with going to teach at the university. You know? Because I have appointed you to influence the young people when they are more impressionable. I didn't think I would come up with that word that quickly.
Mm.
And then, so that person can go and do a master's, can do a PhD, and they remain teaching primary level. Why? Because they are clear on their mandate.
It's so clear.
It is very clear. But there are some people, they hear somebody is now doing chicken, they start that one. They hear there are jobs in Dubai, they're there.
I know.
Then when from Dubai, they hear, by the way, now Kenya, things have improved. They are building a SDR. They come back.
Lack of focus.
Yeah. We think that God would like to speak to every believer and give them focus, not necessarily to be a preacher.
But just the direction.
The direction in their life.
Their purpose.
Yes.
Generally. All right.
Amen.
Okay. Take us on.
We go on?
Yes.
Now, the other thing I find verse 24 is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul is talking, you know, he sounds like he's really now getting worked up in his presentation by verse 24.
By verse 22, he is saying.
Yes.
So I stand here and testify to small and great alike.
Yes.
I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses have said would happen.
Yes.
That the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. So verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane."
I'd like to remind you of another situation. I think it was around chapter 4 or 5.
Mm.
And there we had Peter and John.
Mm.
And they say they took notice that they had been with Jesus.
Yes.
Because the way they were speaking, and they also knew they were not learned.
They were not learned. It was rather clear.
Now this one is learned.
It is clear also.
But it has become also a problem.
Your great learning is driving you insane.
So first, don't worry about your station in life. Present Christ whichever way. They will still resist. Whether you do it using a lot of reasoned, you know, thinking, or you do it like a very plain human being, the Lord can still use you, but there are still people who are likely to see a problem. But it is to encourage, because there is a person who used to tell us, I think it was a Bible school teacher, I forget who it was. Mm. You know, there's a place in 1 Corinthians. It says, think of your calling, brethren.
Yes.
Not many of you
were of noble birth. Yes.
Not many of you
were learning
and yes. So on.
Yes.
But it does not say none of you.
Mm-mm, it is not many
not
of you.
Not many of you.
I agree.
So the few ones, we want to encourage them. Don't feel bad. If you are very intelligent, it's okay.
Present the gospel that way.
The gospel that way. Right. If you have a lot of money, you can go to heaven. Still,
not many of us.
Not many are there, but there are a few, and you are the one. And we want to count on you.
Yes.
Amen.
All right.
So Paul says, "No, actually, I'm not mad." And then he says, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?"
You yes. Know,
verse 27. And then what does he say in your translation? In verse 28.
"King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do."
Yes.
"Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that
yes.
in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?"
Mm-hmm.
What does yours say?
Mine says, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian."
Those are two different... actually, let's now look at that. Yes. Sounds very different.
Yeah.
Do you think that in such a short time
yes.
you can persuade me to be a Christian?
Yeah.
But yours is saying you almost persuade me. It's like
to be a Christian. Yeah.
I hear you. You yeah. almost make yeah. me become one.
Right. I've not looked at that verse clearly, but two possibilities.
All right.
One may be that NIV is the one that they call their,
which is the one that I'm reading.
Yeah, they
yes.
call their system of translation dynamic equivalence.
Mm.
They look at the thought. All right, me, I'm looking at New King James, which is a child of King James,
yes.
which likes to be as literal as possible.
Yes.
What was said.
Uh-huh.
So it may be that could be one reason they sound different, but you can tell the import is the same. But secondly, there are verses, and this one is not indicated, that they say that there is an alternate reading. This one doesn't say that. There's no footnote, right?
Even mine.
So probably there is no footnote.
Yes.
It's just that they are trying to make it thought for thought, while this one is more specific. But the idea being, almost persuade in such a short time to become a Christian, the concept being you are trying to chew a little more than you can, you know. You are underestimating this thing of becoming a Christian. And Paul says, short time
or long.
Yeah.
I pray to God.
Yes.
Not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for this change.
Right. And I think that, and again, you know, he says, I'm speaking to both great and small.
And small, yes.
So he's not only talking to Agrippa, he's just using Agrippa. And that's how Isaiah speak in Africa. Have you ever noticed that they are addressing to the whole group, but they mention one person? It's a style of... So he knows he's talking to all these guys. I have a feeling this impression never left many of those people. Because it now dawns, it is more important for them to be converted than Paul's freedom. And he shows the urgency that whether you have a short time or a long time, I want you to become what I am.
Except for this.
The chains, I don't wish you. I don't even wish you bad. In other words, if only you could just realize this truth, it is the most important thing in my life. But we must not let it bypass us, just like Felix, who said, when I find it convenient. Agrippa is also, and when you remember the things we talked about his life, you remember what we said about him and Bernice? He's also kicking against the goats. And Paul told him before, don't kick against the goats. And again, we repeat to our listeners today, don't start saying short. Do you think you can persuade me to be a Christian? If you know that the goads are on you, if you know that you are beginning to get convicted of the truth of these things, do not resist the Spirit of God who is speaking to you. Amen?
Amen.
And then after that, we realize that Bernice, they basically say this guy has not done anything wrong.
Let me read that, Pastor.
Okay.
After he has said, I pray, God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me
yes.
today may become what I am, except for these chains.
Mm.
The king rose.
Yes.
And with him, the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them.
Right.
They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
Fair enough.
Let me start there.
Yes.
Well, it sounds like, so was it the wrong thing to appeal to Caesar?
Yeah, yeah, that's a question. But you see, I've called this thing about providence of God.
Mm.
He did not want to appeal to Caesar. In fact, when we reach Rome, he will tell the Jews, they actually have nothing against my brethren. When he, because he calls for the guys, the Jews that are living there. I really didn't have anything to bring, but it is these Jews who troubled me until I appealed. It's because he found himself that the way Festus is going to get him killed. And he probably thought two things. One, When other times I've appeared before the Roman authorities, I've gotten off scot-free.
Mm.
They normally seem to see the sense.
It's easier.
Yeah. Now that these guys here in Caesarea are not seeing it, maybe let me go to the governor. He'll see it. That's one. And then number two, Jesus and told him, he will even appear before the Gentiles and their kings.
Yes.
So, God has orchestrated and allowed Festus to be difficult, allowed the chief priests to try this plot of killing Paul to the point where he's squeezed that the only thing to do now is to make an appeal. And the Festus had already granted the appeal. So he cannot now start saying,
yeah,
let's keep him here.
Even after Agrippa listened.
Yes. By that time, he had already told him, you have appealed to Caesar.
To Caesar
you must go. Mm-hmm. That means he has taken the case to the Court of Appeal or
yes.
Supreme Court.
Yes.
And you cannot be the one to return it unless the higher court says.
We drop it again.
Yeah. But some scholars feel that Festa is also happy for this thing to go to Rome.
Uh-huh.
You see, the Jews, like I said previously, are troublesome guys. They keep bringing riots. In this case, it looks like Paul's case is a major issue with the Jewish community. If it can be off my neck,
the better.
Better. So I think that's what Festus is doing. In all these things, it is God's providence to make sure that this gentleman has an opportunity finally to witness before the highest authority. And he will tell you when you read the book of Romans that I'm really longing to come to Rome. Now, the hand of God, the invisible hand of God,
is in all of this.
Is in all of this.
And every detail.
And every detail. And it's not only for Paul to stand before him, it's also that the gospel needs to be heard, even if it was not Paul, but God has
chosen
this person.
You're saying there is a higher agenda.
There's a higher agenda.
Rather than his release.
Yes.
Personal release.
And it is actually a big agenda.
Yeah.
In other words, the people in high places need to know that there is something called Christianity.
Yes.
The noise needs to be being heard from the top. You know, you can preach just to people out there at the streets.
Even Herod needs to know these things, Agrippa.
Yes.
Just to hear it properly.
He needs to hear it clearly.
So in the meantime, as we head towards Rome.
Yes. I will collect these other people. Even on the journey to Rome, it's amazing. You will have people in this island of, Malta.
Yes.
Who are gathered together. Luke does not talk
after
about
the shipwreck.
Yes. Luke does not talk about the gospel presentation, but about healing of people who have been sick. I doubt Paul can do miracles without, first of all, telling you who is doing the miracles.
Yes.
So there is a whole agenda of God about the spread of the faith, which we started with that day, remember?
Yes.
You will be my witnesses in
Jerusalem
and Judea. And to
Samaria
and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And you could think, okay, why can't we wait for the uttermost? You can do it in the next 50 years. The rushing mighty wind. We are going to reach the uttermost parts of the earth before the book closes.
Wow.
Yes, that is the wisdom and the greatness and planning of our God. Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, the wisdom of God. Yes, I stand amazed.
Amen.
Pray for us. We have a minute.
I'd like to pray for those people who are kicking against the goads. The person who knows that the Lord has been pushing him, but because of pride, because of their position, because of the religion they belong to, they have been resisting. Just allow God, allow Jesus to come into your heart. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have no way to save myself. I know that religious activities cannot save me. And I know you've been pulling me to yourself. You have sent people. You have used other means to let me know that Jesus is the truth. Today, I surrender. And I receive you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me all my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Come and live in my heart. I welcome you with both hands. And from now, I am born again. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is the Meat of the Word on Hope FM.